It stormed all that day. The wind drove down the rain, and everywhere there was standing water and mud. The plaster of the broken houses was gray and wet. Late in the afternoon, the rain stopped, and from out number two post, I saw the bare, wet autumn country roads with clouds over the tops of the hills, and the straw screening over the roads wet and dripping. The sun came out once before it went down and shone on the bare woods beyond the ridge. There were many Austrian guns in the woods on that ridge, but only a few fired. I watched the sudden round puffs of shrapnel smoke in the sky above a broken farmhouse near where the line was, soft puffs, with a yellow-white flash in the center. You saw the flash, then heard the crack, then saw the smoke ball distort and thin in the wind. There were many iron shrapnel balls in the rubble of the houses and on the road beside the broken houses where the post was, but they did not shell near the post that afternoon. We loaded two cars and drove down the road that was screened with the wet mats, and the last of the sun came through in the breaks between the strips of the mattings. Before we were out on the clear road behind the hill, the sun was down. We went on down the clear road, and as it turned a corner into the open and went into the square arched tunnel of matting, the rain started again. The wind rose in the night, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, with the rain coming in sheets, there was a bombardment, and the Croatians came over across the mountain meadows and through the patches of woods and into the front line. They fought in the dark in the rain, and a counterattack of scared men from the second line drove them back. There was much shelling and many rockets in the rain, and machine gun and rifle fire all along the line. They did not come again, and it was quieter, and between the gusts of wind and rain we could hear the sound of a great bombardment far to the north. The wounded were coming into the post. Some were carried on stretchers, some walking, and some were brought on the backs of men that came across the field. They were wet to the skin, and all were scared. We filled two cars with stretcher cases as they came up from the cellar of the post, and as I shut the door of the second car and fastened it, I felt the rain on my face turn to snow. The flakes were coming heavy and fast in the rain. When daylight came, the storm was still blowing, but the snow had stopped. It had melted as it fell on the wet ground, and now it was raining again. There was another attack just after daylight, but it was unsuccessful. We expected an attack all day, but it did not come until the sun was going down. The bombardment started to the south below the long wooded ridge where the Austrian guns were concentrated. We expected a bombardment, but it did not come. It was getting dark. Guns were firing from the field behind the village, and the shells, going away, had a comfortable sound. We heard that the attack to the south had been unsuccessful. They did not attack that night, but we heard that they had broken through to the north. In the night, word came that we were to prepare to retreat. The captain at the post told me this. He had it from the brigade. A little while later, he came from the telephone and said it was a lie. The brigade had received orders that the line of the Banzitsa should be held no matter what happened. I asked about the breakthrough, and he said that he had heard at the brigade that the Austrians had broken through the 27th Army Corps up toward Caporetto. There had been a great battle in the north all day.
"If those bastards let them through, we are cooked," he said. "It's Germans that are attacking," one of the medical officers said.
The word Germans was something to be frightened of. We did not want to have anything to do with the Germans.
"There are 15 divisions of Germans," the medical officer said. "They have broken through and we will be cut off. At the brigade, they say this line is to be held. They say they have not broken through badly and that we will hold a line across the mountains from Monte Maggiore."
"Where do they hear this?"
"From the division."
"The word that we were to retreat came from the division."
"We work under the Army Corps," I said. "But here I work under you. Naturally, when you tell me to go, I will go, but get the orders straight."
"The orders are that we stay here. You clear the wounded from here to the clearing station."
"Sometimes we clear from the clearing station to the field hospitals, too," I said. "Tell me, I have never seen a retreat. If there is a retreat, how are all the wounded evacuated?"
"They are not. They take as many as they can and leave the rest."
"What will I take in the cars?"
"Hospital equipment."
"All right," I said.